I knew without a doubt that Santa was real. How did I know that? Because I wrote him a letter and told him what I wanted for Christmas, and I got it all. And besides that, I left him cookies and a glass of milk, and he ate the cookies and he drank the milk. So there. Santa Claus is not real. I know that because one year, I snooped into my parents' closet and I saw the gifts that I had asked Santa to bring me hidden there under their shoes. I was now entering the dark mystery of the adult world. I couldn't quite understand it. However, I did not tell my parents what I had discovered. Instead, I came to this conclusion. I would ask Santa for one expensive gift, and I would also ask my parents for one expensive gift, and that way I would get both gifts. Smart. Also sinful from birth. I didn't tell them for 2 more years. Then I finally felt guilty, and I confessed. Now, according to some people, Santa Claus is nothing but a fairy tale. But as I imagine you know, Santa Claus is very much based on a mythical extension of a very real person from history. His name is Nicholas of Bari, and he lived in Greece and in Turkey. That was about 200 years after Jesus Christ was born. He was a devout Christian. When he was just a child, both of his parents died. And they had taught him to rely heavily on Jesus Christ. And so he learned that lesson very quickly, and he did that for the rest of his life. He grew into a very compassionate Christian. He was a philanthropist, and he was well-known and well-loved among the people. They even started calling him a saint, Saint Nicholas, because of who he was. Now, calling a person a saint at that time and even today does not necessarily mean that the Roman Catholic Church was giving them that title. That practice did not start, actually, for 7 centuries later. But the word saint appears in the Bible many, many times, applied to many, many people. And we sometimes call people saints today, just as they did in biblical days. And what we mean is that that person has a tremendous amount of patience and that they are remarkably kind-hearted. And people who have gotten to know Judy and R.B. have often said, R.B., you are such a saint. And Judy, you deserve a lot of credit for that. Admit it, you miss me. The people call St. Nicholas a saint because they could see Jesus Christ in him. That's a good message for Christmas, isn't it? He was a devout student of the Bible, and he even was invited to participate in the famous Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. In fact, he even participated in the writing of the Nicene Creed. He was well known as a shepherd, not of sheep, but of people. And he became famous for his generosity and his compassion for other people. That is a great goal for all of us. Now, one of the most famous stories about St. Nicholas has to do with a poor father who did not have enough money for a dowry for his 3 daughters. And you have to understand how important that was at that time, because if he couldn't come up with that money, that dowry, his 3 daughters could be sold into slavery or into prostitution. And St. Nicholas knew this, and St. Nicholas knew about this father. So he snuck into the man's home through an open window one night. He found some socks that were drying by the fireplace, and he put a bag of gold in one of them. And then he came back the next night and put a second bag of gold in the second one. He did it 3 nights in a row for the 3 daughters. But he got caught on the 3rd night. And that poor man went around telling everyone what a generous thing he had done. They spread the word. And that's, of course, the origin of stockings by the fireplace today. He is remembered on St. Nicholas Day, December 6th, just last week, because that's the day on which he died, at the age of 73. But as often has happened, history has embellished the story of good old St. Nick. Myths and legends have grown up about him, and people have even reached the level of worshiping him. For you grandparents out there, and there are a few of you, you might consider taking your grandchildren aside this year and telling them the real story of the real Saint Nick, and telling them that he's in heaven now, and maybe someday we'll meet him. But he should not be an object of worship. Now, of course, the name St. Nicholas evolved into the name Santa Claus. And here is a stupid question for you. And I say that this is a stupid question considering the present company. Who is better, Santa or Jesus? Now, that's not such a stupid question for some people. Because some people know Santa, but they don't know Jesus. Even though you know Jesus, I thought it would be interesting to compare the two. For instance, Santa lives in the North Pole. Jesus lives everywhere. He even lives in you. And as you know, we live in a culture that's saturated with paranoia about our privacy. Don't click on that. You may get fished if you go there. Big Brother is watching you. That device may be listening to you all the time. We spend time and we spend money and we spend creativity protecting our privacy. But if you are in Jesus Christ, he lives in you. And he knows all about you. He miraculously came into this world to make you his home. You may be able to enhance your privacy on the internet, but you cannot hide from Jesus. Matthew 28, surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have received from God, you are not your own. That's what he said. You are not your own. Now, the Christmas parades of this world celebrate the coming of Santa, and the Christians of this world celebrate the coming of the Messiah. Hallelujah. Here's some more comparisons. Santa gets around on a sleigh. Jesus, however, makes the clouds his chariot, and he rides on the wings of the wind. That's from Psalm 104. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus, however, is an ever-present help in times of trouble. That's Psalm 46. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all your needs. Philippians 4, my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me. It's amazing how much excitement is generated in the lives of people, including Christians at this time of the year, around the good feelings that are associated with St. Nicholas. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are many, many good qualities about that whole idea of Santa. Giving and the spirit of giving and generosity. It's just so disheartening that even some Christians get more excited about Santa than they do about Jesus Christ, their Redeemer, this time of the year. They invite Santa to come down the chimney But Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And they don't think about him. You usually have to stand in a line to meet Santa if you want to meet Jesus. All you have to do is open your heart. Isaiah 58:9. Then you will call to the Lord, and he will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. Three wonderful words. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. I love that. That's happened to you, you know. That's happened to you. God's people cried for help, and God sent Jesus. That is the gift-giving God that we know and that we worship. He sent that Jesus into Bethlehem, not just for Joseph and Mary, and not just for the shepherds, and not just for the wise men, but for you. Can you cry for Santa for help in times of trouble? Santa lets you sit on his lap. Jesus Christ lets you rest in his arms. That's so much better. Many of you know the name of Mark Lowry. Mark Lowry is a singer-songwriter. In fact, we got into a bus and went up to Lancaster to one of his concerts a few years ago. Some of us did. He wrote a song in his early career that's entitled Rest in the Arms of God. And it begins with these words. When money can't buy a solution, and plans can't find a way, when what worked before doesn't work anymore and words have nothing to say, when tears are flowing like rivers and hearts are breaking in two, if it seems when you pray God is so far away, then there's still one thing you can do. Rest in the arms of the everlasting one. Rest in the care of God's ever-loving Son. When all you can do has already been done, rest in the arms of God. Which is better? Sitting on Santa's lap? Or resting in the arms of Jesus Christ. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Chris, did you know this? When Santa meets a child, he doesn't even know his name. He says, hi, little boy. Hi, little girl. What's your name? Contrast that with Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Or Isaiah 49:16. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Or John 10:3. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's one of the most remarkable things I know about Jesus. He knows me by name. I tried to think of a way to help me feel that, and I came up with this idea. Think of the list of names that are on the Vietnam Memorial in Washington. There are 58,000 names on that memorial. How many of them do you know? Think of Arlington National Cemetery. There are 400,000 people buried there. How many of them do you know by name? Think of the 700,000 flags that were placed on the mall to commemorate the death during the COVID pandemic of 700,000 people just a month or so ago. How many of them do we know by name? Now, into how many human souls has God breathed life? He knows them all by name. Jesus not only knows your name, but he knows your history, and he knows your future. He knows the names and the history and the future of every one of your loved ones. Matthew 10:30, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Chris, did you know that one? He knows. Which is better, Santa or Jesus? Santa says, you better not cry. And Jesus says, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Revelation 21. Santa and all his helpers work hard at making toys. Jesus Christ works hard at making lives. At mending a wounded heart, at healing a failing body, at repairing broken relationships, and at building mansions for you in heaven. That's right, Jesus was a builder. Jesus is a builder. The word translated carpenter in the Bible is attributed to Joseph and later to Jesus, and the literal translation of that word is a builder. And we don't know what he built with. We assume it was wood because we think of carpenters as being woodworkers, but archaeological evidence when you go to Nazareth and look there is that they were building with stones. But whether it was wood or marble or stones, it just doesn't matter. Jesus is in the miraculous business of building lives, your life. And he fills them, and he repairs them, and he redeems them, and he loves them. Santa carries a big bag of gifts. Jesus carries a cross. Santa says, ho, 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 and it gives you a chuckle. And Jesus Christ gives you true joy. Santa puts his gifts under a tree, and Jesus Christ puts himself on a tree for you and for me. There's no comparison. So, who is Christmas all about? You know the answer. But countless others do not know the answer. R.B. was praying about that earlier. Have you ever realized how much evangelism is contained in the stories we read every Advent? The angels appeared to the shepherds and they told them the good news, the gospel. That's evangelism. And what happened next? It was a chain reaction, Luke 2. So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word. That's evangelism. The shepherds needed the Lord, but they didn't know it until the evangelists told them. The wise men needed the Lord, but they didn't know it until they met him, saw him, and fell in his presence. You needed the Lord, but you didn't know it either until he took you by the hand and he changed your life forever. People need the Lord, and they need the Lord more today than ever before. But they also do not know it unless someone tells them. And God takes them by the hand too. So what is your role in all of that? You know the answer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ. And thank you for the privilege we have of worshiping him and representing him and sharing him. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel, but help us to lovingly, openly tell others about him. Hallelujah. We pray in his name. Amen.